Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 6:49. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Last week, or was it the week before, or no one knows anymore when time, you know, time is weird at the moment. It's completely elastic, so don't ask me to tell you when this was. But either way, we spoke about this incident and the events that are unfolding at the Fairmount Sports Clubhouse, and that's where residents were evicted. We spoke to some of the residents. We spoke to Councillor Daniel Shea, but I believe now there has been a bit of a turn to that in that story. Daniel Shea joins us this morning. Thanks for doing so. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I am well, thank you. So what is the latest? What happened on Friday?
So it was on Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. A human rights group called Ferry took the city to court to get an interdict against the eviction, and then asked for a rescission application, and the judge, urgent judge, granted the interdict, and said the evictees have to be let back in, pending the rescission application. So that's currently where we're standing at the moment. It's a little bit disappointing that this couldn't have been done before the eviction happened and before the city spent a huge amount of money on it, but it's where we are.
But on what basis, you know, if they had been given all of the notification and they know that they're there illegally, on what basis was it granted that they should be allowed to return?
That's a very, very interesting question. I wasn't even in court. I wasn't aware of it until after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen the order and not the argument. So I really don't know what the argument was, but mm-hmm. apparently it was very convincing.
Right, well, clearly, yes. So what does that mean, though, in terms of next steps? What is the situation?
So now there's a rescission application that's pending. So Ferry, who are arguing on behalf of the evictees, had 5 days from Thursday to submit their heads of argument. Then the city would have had 10 days to respond, and then Ferry has another 5 days to respond, and then it all gets scheduled in court to be heard. So that's the current process. I mean, the city is obviously getting its lawyers to work on it, but it's just a bit of a time game at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So it really is and in terms of the residents, have they all moved back in? What is the situation there?
So what actually happened on Thursday, when Metro Police came to clear the pavement, they arranged a lot of shelter for anyone who wanted shelter, except for two ladies who were too young to fit the shelter's prescription, they got into a shelter. So I'm not sure if those evictees decided to return to the property, which in the meantime has had a bit of demolition in the interim period,
mm-hmm.
While they're out. So I'm not sure if they would have chosen to go back in or if they would have chosen to go to the shelter. But it was the interdict order allowed basically everyone except for the four main applicants listed in the original order. So anyone who wants to go back in can, except for those four.
Say that again. Anyone who wants to go back.
So there were four main respondents in the original eviction order,
right.
And then the fifth was any additional unlawful residents. So this interdict allows the additional unlawful residents back in, but not the original four respondents.
Ah, okay. That must be a bit of a blow.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. I mean, I don't know how you meant to constantly, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how you meant to constantly keep notes of how many illegal residents are in the building and list them every time you go to court. But apparently it seems to be that was the basis that it kind of went on.
Does their presence there represent a safety issue to the community?
Based on the fact that there was drugs and prostitution occurring there, I think it's not in terms of a criminal theft and robbery type situation, but it definitely has an effect on the community in terms of availability of drugs and obviously the social repercussions of that.
Right. So that is the issue. The issue is largely, if you had to say the biggest danger of the of people living there, squatting there illegally, is the fact that they sell drugs and which means drugs are available to members of our of the community easily.
Yes, and obviously in addition to that, the cost on the city of illegal electricity and water connections and maintaining a property which they have no control over.
Right. Mark says, what is the background to this issue? Daniel, how long has this been going on for?
It's been over 8 years.
Wow.
What the original story was, I'm going to go back into that, is that there was a tenant leasing the tennis club from some Townsville property company. And at some point that lease broke down. It wasn't commercially viable for the tenant. And he abandoned the property and left his groundskeeper in place. And the city tried to get rid of get the groundskeeper off the ground, and he refused to leave, and then his crowd grew from there. So that was over 8 years ago. That was the beginning of the story.
All right. Just moving on, and we didn't discuss that I was going to ask you this, but can you give us an update as to what's happening in Ward 72 in terms of water, electricity, and road issues?
So in terms of electricity, I think we're relatively stable at the moment. We go days without actually any residents having an outage, but there's obviously every now and then a few faults, but that's pretty much routine. Water, we've got the big water upgrade project probably beginning within the next month. So that's going to hopefully resolve a lot of the water leaks we're seeing in the Glen Hazel area. There's also a project coming into Sandringham. Sandringham's experiencing some leaks, but on a lower scale than Glen Hazel. But that project also going to be launching soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the roads, my big issue with roads is pretty much that we're losing a lot of, our roads are getting damaged by the water situation. So once we can stop those water leaks, I can start asking JRA to come in and improve the conditions of the roads. So I'm a bit reluctant to expend resources that are going to be damaged. So.
Do you see an end to this constant water issue? You know, no water, too much water, water on the roads, no water in the taps. Is it a cycle you think is going to end?
The upgrade project, which is going to replace most of the problematic lines, in Glen Hazel, the upgrade project is worth about 20 million rand.
Right.
And the Sandringham one, a similar amount. So, once those projects are completed, we should see a drastic reduction in leaks. I mean, it's literally all the roads that we've experienced the leaks on are going to be replaced. So I'm very hopeful that it's probably a year from the time they begin to complete that project, but they'll be done in phases. But after that, we should be in the clear.
And, I mean, the magical time there seems to be from when they begin. Any idea when that'll be?
So, I mean, they've been contacting me to find a site for a staff office. So I've put them in contact with City Park, and once they've established that, they'll get going. So it's a little bit of communication between them and City Park that needs to happen, and I think then they're going to get moving.
But it does seem like it's relatively soon. If that's a stage that it's at, that is very good news.
Yes. So, no, they want to get going. There's money allocated. They need to get it done. So they don't want to delay.
All right, that is very, very good news. And in terms of what is going on at council level with parties being disruptive, do you see progress happening?
So, you know, you've got to play the game, the ANC's game, which is to just stay along with the disruptions and just be resolute in the face of them. But what we managed to achieve at the end of the last council, which was on last Tuesday, before we lost the forum, is we got the chairs elected. And the ANC-EFF coalition withdrew all their candidates for chairperson positions.
Mm-hmm.
So all the chairperson positions are now uncontested. So there will be a little bit of argument about that at the beginning of the next council meeting, which is on Thursday. I'm sure the ANC will come say, no, we have to reallow nominations.
Right.
But the way we see it going is that we will get those chairpersons in uncontested because we've closed the nomination process. And then from there, it's business as usual, hopefully.
All right, let's hope. Before I let you go, Unsigned says, who do I speak to about cutting the grass regularly? Pavements are not in good shape.
So that's also another challenge we're experiencing in the city. If residents can clean up the pavements outside their own homes, that's first prize. JRA is responsible for cutting grass, but they've contracted our city parks to do that for them. The issue being that there's a bit of a cash flow situation problem there, so that needs to be resolved. So in the meantime, it's a bit shaky. So I'd rather if residents could do it themselves, that would be great. And if they can ask JRA and JRA can spare some funds for specific projects, that would also be wonderful.
All right, and that is all we have time for. Councillor Daniel Shea from Ward 72, thank you, as always, for making yourself available.